11:03, BT and Sal back on the fence. So, this is interesting. So, one of our callers called up and talked about Alonzo's post-game reaction to being dropped in the batting order. Now, I read it first, and then I listened to it. And before I give you my reaction, I want you guys to hear it. Go ahead, Dolph.
I mean, I'm on pace for close to 40 homers. I'm an all-star, so I think, or I was an all-star this year, so I think that, I mean, to beat myself up or be frustrated, it's really no use. And I'm really excited for the end of the year where we get to play winning baseball. So I'm really excited. I'm happy with what I've accomplished this year so far, and I think that there's definitely going to be some opportunities that I'm looking forward to capitalizing on.
Okay, so there's the gist of it there. Dolph, do me a favor, play it once more and just stop it as soon as I tell you to stop.
I mean, I'm on pace for close to 40 homers. I'm an all-star.
Stop.
So
okay. This is a perfect example of why context matters. And I think that last call was unfair to Pete. I also think that the entire snippet that we played you is not a true representation of what he said. Now, I'm not calling anybody out for their editing style, but that's not the whole quote. Because I actually watched the entire video, Pete by his locker, and he talked about how he was approached on the team plane by Mendoza, and Pete multiple times placed team above self. Now, if you just hear that, it sounds very obtuse, like, oh, listen, I'm on pace for 40 home runs, I'm an all-star, what do you want from me? It's not my problem. No, that's not the case. That is unfair. Now, there is one thing that he said that I'm not buying, but it's not a knock on his personality, it's not a selfish thing. I think it's just, he's doing it, and I know why he's doing it. It's basically just human nature. He says, quote, I'm happy with what I've accomplished so far. No, you're not. There's no way. Like, there's no way when you're hitting, what is he, at 230 now with an OPS under 800, dropped in the order, on pace for 86 RBIs in a contract year with Scott Boras, that you're happy with what you're doing. Like, if you would have handed him a sheet of paper on the first day of spring training in Port St. Lucie and said, hey, by the way, Pete, welcome. Here's your numbers for this season. He'd be horrified because he would know right there. He'd say, I just lost myself $20, $30, $40 million. But that's not the point, all right? That is, I think, another example, and we all fall for it, whether it's just laziness by some or not being exposed to everything, whether it's a timing purpose or you're trying to actually create your own narrative. Now, if I wanted to be consistent with what I've, you know, how I've talked about Pete, what I would be saying right now is he's selfish, he's egotistical, he cares more about himself. Because I would not have done the homework to go and follow up that entire interview to make sure that I represent this man the right way. Because I'm never here to dog somebody. Now, would I sign Pete long term? No, you guys know that. And you know the reasons why. But I guarantee somewhere along the line today, either callers, another host, somebody on social media, prominence, will position Pete as selfish because of that little snippet that I played you without playing the other stuff. There's 2 minutes of whatever's good for the team. I just want to win games. I'm fine with it. I'm not going to change my approach. And then, yeah, he did say, I'm on pace for 40, almost, you know, basically 40, and I was an all-star. And it's that little money snip right there. Boom, we got you. Look, you see, he is selfish. Look at him. Oh, he's not batting fourth. Look at what he's doing. Not fair. Not right. And not accurate. So when it comes to having Pete's back with this, I absolutely have his back. He handled it like a pro. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the fan. John's in New London, Connecticut. What's going on, John?
Hey, BT, calling back. Yeah, you just took the words right out of my mouth. I actually just listened to Smith. I was going to rant about that. Whoever said that, kind of, you know, this team needs Pete to be a leader. But I guess we'll do another 360 quickly. Brandon Nimmo, I mean, hitting like 170. I feel like when he first started in the league, he was trying to just, you know, put the ball in play and, you know, get on base. I feel like there's a huge turnaround in baseball in terms of that approach. Like, you don't see any more Luis Arraez or anyone really getting on base. So, yeah. I mean, it's really unfortunate. Do you think this is just going to be the new way of baseball? And, you know, I think Nimmo is just going to be this guy that just,
yep,
only has to hit the power. I mean, you need these guys on base. I'm a big fan of small ball, so I don't understand why you're putting Nimmo in this position where he has to hit 25 home runs when, you know, he's more important getting on base, hitting 310. Do you think it's just going to be the new norm for him?
Yep.
Others?
Yeah. I think it's going to be the new norm for everybody, John. Baseball has completely changed. I'm not saying there won't be somebody like Arise who pops up and it's just, you know, foul line to foul line. You know, just hit it where it's pitched and choke up with two strikes, put the ball in play, hit it on the ground, whatever. But it's over. And I'm going to tell you why. All right. So some of you definitely know, like Jerry Recco knows this because his son plays ball. So if you have kids who play baseball, I'm sure it's the same in softball, but I can't speak to that yet. My daughter's only 8, even though she does play. My son's 9, plays baseball. All right. I've said that a lot. So one of the organizations that he plays in, like one of the umbrellas, Perfect Game, which is absolutely phenomenal. There's no better amateur umbrella in the United States. USABL is very good. Perfect Game is number one. Like if you actually go to Perfect Game's profile and you type in Witt, right? When he was 17, 18, like he played there. So did Mike Trout. So did Anthony Volpe. It's got all their stuff. It's actually amazing to look back at what they did and, you know, how big they were and how they were ranked in the state. It's a very detailed database. But the point being, all right, is that now I don't love this, but it is what it is. Even at the age of 9, they've got radar guns. I don't get wrapped up in that, all right? I don't. I played baseball, so I know it's a hard game. I know it's a long race, and I know that he's 9. And the kids he's playing against are 9 and 10. So, I mean, what the hell are we doing? But there's a radar gun. And when there is a radar, I mean, you're not going to ignore it. You got to check how hard your son's throwing, right? And this is not a brag thing at all. Trust me. It's a bigger issue about the Les Calder. And when you get to age 10 or you get invited to some of these showcase events, now they have radars on exit velocity, okay? So let's just talk common sense here. So, you know, you've got a son who's in Georgia, California, one of the hotbeds, California, Jersey's a hotbed as well, Georgia, California, Florida, Texas, right? And from the time they're 9, 10, 11, you can actually see a graph of their evolution in terms of how hard they throw a baseball and how hard they hit a baseball. Now, if you have the means, meaning resources, what are you going to do? If your kid loves the game, you're going to feed that lessons and you're going to keep looking at that exit velo. All right. You're going to keep looking at that radar gun and you're going to chase numbers. And when you, and again, I don't love this. I'm just telling you the way it is. When you chase that, you know what you sacrifice? Contact. You know what you sacrifice? Two-strike approach. Nobody's choking up. Are you kidding me? When you chase that, you know what you sacrifice? Hitting the ball the other way, you know? And I don't mean a little five-hopper to second base to get the runner over from second. I'm talking about just, you know, keeping your shoulder closed, taking the outside pitch, and trying to whistle it to the right center gap if you're a righty hitter, you know? Like you're supposed to do. But the exit velo the other way, generally not as high, so everybody's looking to jack the ball. And all of these, now, 1% of these kids will make the major leagues, even though everybody thinks their son will, and they won't. But when you look at all of the 9 and 10 and 11, and beyond, young baseball players in the world, but I say in our country because the entire world doesn't have access to the technology that we do because of the money that we have. They are going to chase velocity. And when you chase velocity, you sacrifice the other stuff that really makes baseball beautiful. It's a long answer, but trust me, you won't hear a more right answer. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal, Pete's in Union Beach. What's going on, Pete? You're on the Fan. How you doing?
Hey, BT, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. What's going on, Pete?
All right, we got to have an Alonzo talk. I wish your partner was on, too, so we could have this debate.
Okay, what do you got?
I'm a big Alonzo fan, mm-hmm. and I want him to stick around. And I get it. I'm not going to argue and say he's having a normal, regular Pete Alonzo year because he's not.
Okay.
But what is this talk that he's having, like, a bad year? We can go through stats right now. He's literally still hitting, like, a top 5-6 first baseman in the major league.
Okay. Okay.
I get it. He's not going to get to 45 and 115 unless, you know.
He's not even going to be close to 115. He's lucky if he gets to 90. He's not. But and he's having a down year. I'm not trying to bag on him, but it's down. Keep going.
But this point of, like, I guess because he's in a contract year, everybody is he's under a microscope. But at the end of the year, if he finishes with, let's just say, and these are all realistic / on pace, if he finishes the year at 245 with 35 and 88 to 90 RBIs and it's 38 to 40 doubles, are we really going to sit here and say, like, man, yeah, he's just not very good and he didn't really have a good year?
No, nobody's saying he's not very good. What we're doing is it's a next level evaluation. No, everybody knows he's good. The question is, how good is he? And by the way, Pete, the, you know, this comes with the territory, man. So, you know, I'm sorry if Pete's wilting a little bit under the pressure of the contract spotlight. How did Aaron Judge do a couple of years ago? How's Juan Soto doing this year? I mean, come on, man. It's business. It's baseball. This is what happens. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about, Pete, how did Reggie Jackson? So Reggie Jackson comes here after the 76 World Series. Yankees get swept by the Reds, 4-0 big red machine, right? Reggie comes here, and he goes back-to-back championships, hits the 3 home runs in the World Series. Now, everybody knows Reggie, Billy Martin. He was a little bit of a tough person, both Billy and Reggie, to deal with, and the ego and the Munson stuff and all the other nonsense. But at the end of the day, he showed up here as the hired gun, and he delivered with everybody watching. Why can't Pete?
I think that story's yet to be written out in full. But my point is this, like,
it's August.
I don't think Pete Alonso's the best player on the Mets. He's a cog in the wheel.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Again, you compared him to Judge and Soto. Well, Judge and Soto are what, top three?
No, Pete. I'm just comparing his situation being under the spotlight in New York with a contract. That's it. We know he's not Judge or Soto. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, he clearly is not having his prototypical year.
Well, what about last year when he hit 217?
How many home runs and RBI?
Oh, but what about 217?
Not great.
That's terrible.
Not great, but I still think, like, the production is you're going to get 250, around 40 home runs, and 100-plus RBIs every year. Again, if you're having – he is not having, like, a – for lack of a better comparison, he's not having a DJ LeMahieu year where it's like, oh, this guy stinks. He can't be in the lineup.
I know he's not. I'm not even remotely suggesting that he is. I get that.
I just feel like people are looking at it. It's like, if he's not hitting his numbers, well, he's just having a really bad year.
Listen, Pete, he's having a really disappointing season. There's nobody that can say otherwise. Stop. You just dropped him in the batting order. So he pays for 86 RBIs. Now, to be fair to Pete, maybe if Lindor didn't hit 095 the first month of the season and Nimmo didn't hit 177 in July, yeah, maybe he'd be on pace for 100 and it would be a different feel. I get that. You're definitely a product of what's around you. No, but listen. On the scale of expectation, like what we thought Pete might do this year in a contract year versus what he's on pace to do, I would say that he has delivered, you know, 1 to 10 scale. It's a 5. Maybe a 4.5. On his scale. I don't mean like the DJ LeMahieu. Yeah, on his scale. No? 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. Let me get Franklin up to Washington Heights on the Fan. Franklin, what's cooking, brother? How you doing?
Yeah, how you doing, BT? I love you guys' show. I think you're the best on the Fan.
Thank you.
Pete Alonso, in my opinion, he's not a pressure player. I mean, he's playing for his future, and he's having the worst season of his career by far.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying he's going to hit 40 home runs. What is he out of his mind?
Well, he's on pace for 36. He is on pace for 36, so if he just has a heater, he could get to 40. He could. He could.
Do you think that's going to happen? Do you think that's
I don't think he's going to hit 40 this year. I think he's going to be like 35, 37. I think he's going to be short.
Right, way short. But how about the RBIs? It's ridiculous. Every time he's got more doubles than home runs, and the only time he gets these doubles is when nobody's on base. Crazy.
He has not been clutch. I chronicled the numbers yesterday. I mean, he's been woeful in meaningful situations. Undeniable. You know? You know, in a really weird way, this, God, the Alonso conversation has been going on for a while now, and I understand why. In a weird way, this might actually work out best for the Mets. Because let's face it, I mean, and I said this yesterday, who's winning this showdown? Is it the Mets or is it Pete? Like, It's the Mets in a blowout. Now, it doesn't help them in the standings, but in terms of the contract room, Mets by a mile. I mean, Pete's got nothing to hang his hat on right now, except that, you know, he's a longtime Met, and he's hit a lot of home runs, but last year was down, hit 217. This year he's down, everything that we chronicled. But, if the pressure of the contract push has led to this drop in production, right, and he's just a little tense and it's affected his and impacted his performance, and he really does love it here, if he does, I think he likes it here, but if he loves it here and nobody comes with a massive deal, which I don't think that they will, newsflash, the Mets are going to get him on 70 cents on the dollar. And that's a good thing. Because it's never been, and I think this has been misconstrued, for me, and I can't tell you what you think when you hear what I say. I can only tell you what I say, and then if you're not sure, try to clarify it. And for me, it's never been about getting rid of Pete. It's always been about making sure that Pete's put in the proper baseball file. Because almost a year and a half or so ago, when this first started to flare, like, what's going to happen with Pete? You were calling me up saying he's the Mets' Aaron Judge. Are you out of your mind? The Mets' Aaron Judge. Think about that. Yeah, he's just like Aaron Judge. I mean, he's just like him. Come on. But that doesn't mean he's not good and he doesn't have great value. And I think the value is starting to kick in now because the years are going down and the AAV is going down. So maybe it works out best. He gets 2, 3, 4 years, money that's manageable, and you just keep building out the roster. It's not impossible. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal here on the fence. Sal is off. I can just picture Sal skimming his pool right now, holding his Surfside. Actually, he said he doesn't skim it. I think he has somebody else do that. Sal doesn't like getting his hands dirty. That is amazing. That's one thing that stuns me about Sal. It's amazing to me. Doesn't like to do the pool. Doesn't like to do the garbage and the mulch. But he's a maniac. It just doesn't. And his dad was a mechanic. Anyway, contractors, get what you need to get the job done. Head over to Windorama. They keep a huge supply of Anderson windows, patio doors, and storm doors in many sizes in stock at their distribution center for pickup or quick delivery. Windorama is proud to feature Anderson, number one trusted window and door brand. Plus, get access to other premium brands. Call Windorama at 800-695-RAMA. Visit one of their 25 showrooms throughout the tri-state area or windorama.com. Let your project be their passion. All right, back to these Alonzo calls here in a moment. BT and Sal on the fan. Fanatics Fest NYC is taking over the Javits Center from August 16th through the 18th right now. Caller number 10, and we'll get you there. And me and Sal will be out there doing a show as well. 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326. That's your chance to win a four-pack of tickets. Be part of the first-ever immersive sports fan festival at Fanatics Fest. It's from our friends at Fanatics Live. Visit fanaticsfest.com for the full athletic lineup. I know that Tom Brady's going to be there. Jeter's going to be out there. Just a who's who. Should be a lot of fun. All right, let's get back to the Alonzo calls. 888-808-1019. Dropped in the order. And, you know, I listen, a misrepresentation of how he handled it. So I thought he was fine. I really did. I've got his back with this. I thought he was team first and, you know, secondary to himself, and he put his ego on, you know, on the side a little bit, which is tough. I mean, you're a prodigious home run hitter, and you are bumped from that symbolic four spot in a contract year. That stings, man. But I didn't hear anything from Pete that I thought was out of bounds or off base or maybe would lose a point in the locker room or from the coaching staff. But let's see what you guys think. How about Lee on Staten Island? Lee, BT and Sal, what's going on, Lee?
Hey, BT. My question is, is Pete, the way I listen to it, Pete sounds like he's okay with the way he's playing. And I'm wondering if he feels that a team after, you know, the year's up is going to be okay with the numbers that he's going to put up this year for the next 7 years of his career. Like, I don't understand, like, the way he sounds, like, he's like, you know, everything's fine. I'm okay with my numbers. I don't think a team that's, whoever it is, may not be the Mets, I'm going to be okay with these kind of numbers that he's putting up this year.
No, they're not. I mean, listen, baseball's not stupid. Not that they don't do stupid things on occasion, but, you know, I don't think there's really anything left to translate about Pete's game. Everybody knows the kind of athlete he is or what he lacks in certain spots. Everybody knows that he's one of the best, you know, raw power hitters of certainly of this generation. And everybody knows that now this is the second year in a row that his chase rate, his whiff rate, and some things that really matter are going in the wrong direction. So I think the contract parameters are going to define themselves. I don't think there's a whole lot to interpret. Whereas somebody like, and it's a very different player, Lee, but let me take Jazz Chisholm for a second. Like Jazz Chisholm, there's a lot to interpret still because you can at least have the conversation. Well, you know, now he's in a lineup with some legitimate thump around him. Well, now he's in a more pressurized situation with expectations, which theoretically should lead to increased focus, which theoretically should lead to better performance. I think a lot of people kind of think that there's still more in the tank for somebody like Jazz Chisholm. And, you know, even Vientos, just to keep it on the Mets. Like, I think that there's still, he certainly turned the corner in terms of gaining support. But I think that if you talk to baseball players, baseball people around the sport, not that he's on the market, they're not going to trade him. But, you know, if you got some scouts or some GM's opinions of him, I think there'd still be some people who think that maybe he could eventually ascend to an even more prominent spot in a batting order for a good team. Maybe a four guy. I don't know. But Pete is who he is. I mean, he is what he is. He is who he is. George in Astoria. What's up, Georgie?
Hey, BT. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. How you doing? Thank you.
Good. So, you know, I'm not a Mets fan. I'm not a Yankees fan. So I like to think I have sort of a non-biased, realist attitude on Pete Alonso.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he's Judge. He's not Soto. He's not even close. And I think some of the criticism he's got this year has been justified. But I also think, you know, the fact that we are so critical about him when he hits 36 homers, let's say, or 890 RBIs, 245, is actually a testament to how great he's been. Because
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, that's not... Not everyone can do that. And so I'm not saying give the guy 200+. I think that's ridiculous. But when Soto's going to get 600, and like I said, I'm trying to make it clear that they're not in the same conversation.
I got you.
Why can't he get 5 years 32 for 160 or something like that, you know?
He could.
I don't think he's going to be hitting 45 bombs for the next 5 years, but he might hit 40.
Yeah, that's, you know, 100%. Might,
don't give him 8. Give him 5 or 6, 32.
No. George, I think that's a very good call. I think that approach and that mindset is the right one. Now, 5 years, unless it's the Mets, you know, given the hometown stuff, and I don't even think that they want to go 5, and I don't think that they will. But the contracts have changed, and timing's everything, right? I mean, think about Machado's deal. Think about what they were offering Correa before they pulled it back, right? Judge is different, but think about some of these other lengthy deals. You know, Bryce Harper, I mean, worth every penny, but you're talking 12, 13-year deals. I mean, Soto, is he going to get 13? He might. We could. But those are, that's for the most rarefied, you know, level. Like, that's it. You know, you are a grade A, no doubt, future Hall of Famer with a lot of meat on the bone in terms of your prime. And yeah, I mean, if Pete finishes up with 500 home runs, and he probably will, you know, I can see him being a Hall of Famer, but he's not the other guys, and everybody knows it. So when you're not the other guy, now it's like, okay, well, what else do you do? Do you impact the game on the bases? No. Do you impact the game at first base? He's gotten better, but no. So it's, you know, he's really a one-and-a-half tool guy, one-tool player, power. Let me get Gus up in Westchester. What's up, Gus?
Hey, how you doing, BT? It's always a pleasure.
What's up, Gus?
Listen, you know, I've been a Mets fan since 1962. I'm 68 years old. I currently umpire baseball, and, you know, I put my kids through it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I comprehend what you was talking about before. But as far as Pete Alonso is concerned, you know, I've seen a lot of power hitters that were not Mets that I always wanted to be Mets. Okay, because Darryl Strawberry was our best one. Hojo was our next to best. You know, Jim Hickman back in the day.
Dave Kingman.
And Dave Kingman, yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as, you know, baseball today, depending on who your agent is, you know, brings out the selfishness in a lot of ball players. You know, like, for example, Soto, he turned down 300+ million. With the Nationals, right? And I think the worst move that Pete Alonso made was getting Boris to be his agent, because I think Boris is whispering in his ear, you got to do this, you got to do that. And this guy is projecting numbers into the 40s when he's not even close right now.
Yep.
And the sad part is he's our best power hitter, homegrown. I know the trade talks, the discussions between you and Sal talking about trading and not trading. Either way, you know, as a Mets fan, listen, I'm a Mets fan with 29 winning seasons with this team out of 63 years. Oof. Okay, that's nothing to brag about. Oof. Okay, but in the long run, he's our best power hitter, and he's got to like stay with the flow of the team, you know. And maybe his numbers will improve, but if he's putting the pressure on himself to hit home runs like he's projecting 40 right now, which is ludicrous. Yeah. I never heard of a ball player projecting in the middle of a season as to what he's going to get, you know, because baseball is unpredictable.
We do that all the time, even with Judge's pace. I mean, you go to any baseball website where you get the stats, it plays it out. It's projection right in front of you.
I'm not talking about we as the fans. I'm talking about as a player.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, players keep their mouths shut as far as what they're doing on the field. You know, and then when the season's over, then they reflect on what they did.
Yep.
And then they take it, and then they put it in their agent's hands to negotiate the contract that they deserve.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
yep.
This guy's talking about, and the only thing I didn't like about Pete really this year was the fact that baseball invited him to be in the home run derby.
Yeah.
He should have just taken that instead of putting baseball on the spot and saying, put me on the All-Star team. I thought that was very selfish.
You weren't alone. Yeah. You got that bothered. You know, Gus, weren't alone.
That really got me annoyed. But as a power hitter that we were craving since the Orlando Cepeda days, I feel that, I mean, that's how far back I go. I mean, you know, he's our best home run hitter that we've had in a long time, you know, since Strawberry, you know, and Hojo. So, you know, let's hope that this guy, you know, tones it down a little bit and just becomes more of a team player than a selfish player. And that's all I have to say, and I'll hear your opinions on that. Thank you very much.
Appreciate that very much. I mean, listen, the one thing, you make a lot of good points. I get it, and a sensible approach here. The one thing that I can't quantify, I mean, nobody can, and we could sit here and split the numbers all day, projected to do this, he did this last year, he might do this when it's all said and done with 500 home runs. I don't know. I surmise this could be the case, but I don't know. Because I'm just trying to personalize it for me, that I wonder if he's going to harbor any resentment toward the Mets for not dropping him to five, but for what he might perceive to be a light offer with $160 million, right? And maybe be more open to he previously was to leave for an offer that's comparable. Like if the Mets offered him, I don't know, I really think it was 160, right? And he didn't sign it, and let's just say, I'm just throwing out a team, let's say the Angels offer him similar, you know, where he may have been mentally predisposed to stay here no matter what, if the offer that he feels is disrespectful, if 160 could be disrespectful, but in the sporting sense, you know what I mean, maybe that greases the skid for him to leave and say, you know what, nah, too light, I'm leaving, I don't feel wanted here. I mean, that's not off the table. That's part of the human, you know, the ego and all the other stuff. And he's got an ego, as we know about the All-Star game with the flex, as the, you know, Gus just pointed out, and many of you have as well. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal, all the fan, back to these calls as well. The Jalen Brunson captaincy, the Brian Daboll conversation that we had earlier as well. Fanatics Fest NYC takes over the Javits Center August 16th through the 18th. Don't miss the powerhouse event with over 100 athletes, Tom Brady, Derek Jeter, the Manning brothers. It is going to be loaded. Catch a star-studded Knicks paddle featuring newly minted captain Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart. Dive into interactive sports challenges like a 40-yard dash and score exclusive Topps card drops. Don't miss out. It's going to be awesome. Me and Sal will be out there as well as Evan and Tiki doing our shows. Visit FanaticsFest.com for the full athlete lineup. Be part of the first ever immersive sports fan festival at Fanatics Fest. For tickets and info, go to FanaticsFest.com. That's FanaticsFest.com. Let's set you up with a sports minute brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. All right, we'll get back to these calls here about Pete, a little Brian Daboll stuff as well. Hobbs is going to step in for Sal. Now, listen, these are big shoes because Sal's questions are usually good. Like, I think Sal's questions, I enjoy this segment a lot. Sal usually brings some good stuff. Sal is on vacation, which means Hobbs had to set up the list himself. and let's see how he does.
All right. Well, listen, first one up, speaking of the devil, Sal Licata, what do you miss most about Sal?
What do I miss most about Sal? Honestly, I miss a lot. Like, you guys know I love working with Sal. What do I miss the most about Sal? I would say, well, I'll give you an answer that you probably don't expect. I miss the conversations off the air. Like, the things we talk about, you're in for some of it. And you should hear the... And you should hear the conversations during the break, my God.
The unfiltered's pretty good.
Oh, God almighty, it's amazing. So that's always fun, and we just bounce around all aspects of life. I would say he makes me laugh. Like, the guy, he's out of his mind. He's insane. He's crazy. He's a nutball. And I think that unpredictability, you've seen me spit my water out twice, like, legitimately just laugh. So I'd say laughing a little bit.
All right.
Go on.
Number two, I'm stealing this from the morning show because I heard Jerry and Joe talk about this.
I mean, come on. No original content?
Oh, no, this is good, though. Oh, this is a good one.
Is this a music thing?
It is.
Okay, that's all they talked about was music.
Right, exactly.
You talk about little sports guys.
No, not Joe. Joe talked about listen, he's talked about dying before his sports teams win.
Wait, the morbidity? Yes. I got you.
So this is a little bit morbid, too.
All right.
What's the one album you'd want to listen to on your deathbed?
Oh, Jesus. On my deathbed.
Well, because they were asking, the whole thing was a thing about Ringo Starr. No, not Ringo Starr. George Harrison, they asked that.
Yeah. What did he say, by the way? What was George's answer?
I don't remember George's answer. Joe's answer was the Beach Boys, a specific Beach Boy album.
Really? I thought he may have said Led Zepp. I know he loves the Beach Boys, too. Oh, boy. On my deathbed, I mean, I guess I'll indulge the morbid nature of the question. Am I really old or am I younger and sick, God forbid? Because there's a difference.
I think that's what it was. It was more like, it was like chemo type of thing. Not chemo, excuse me, hospice. Because George Harrison, I think, was on hospice.
Hospice meaning I'm 85?
Well, I mean, you take whatever you want.
Well, hopefully I'll take the 85.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, I'll take 90 while we're making deals here. I would say Billy Joel's Greatest Hits.
That's almost a cop out.
What do you mean it's a cop out?
The Greatest Hits.
It's an album.
No, you need
volume one and two. I mean, that's literally an album. Wait, can you buy the album? Can you buy the CD with all the different songs, like Goodnight Saigon, Piano Man? Can you?
You can, well, but that's a cop out, though.
All right. So if you don't like that, so he doesn't like my answer. That's one thing Sal never does. He never says, I don't like the answer. He rolls with it.
No, okay, gotcha.
Let me see. Be a little more specific. As I'm thinking, do you have one?
I do, and it's a weird one.
Okay.
Fiona Apple Title. I don't know you why. It's just very, very relaxing.
That is weird, man.
It's very relaxing, though.
Listen, and just the reason I say Billy, I like songs that make me think. And to me, Billy Joel, I don't know that there's not an artist, and to the chagrin of my producer, my answer, there's not an album that kind of floods me with snapshots of so many different times in my life than that. So you know what? Screw you. I'm not giving another one. That's it. That's my answer.
All right, hey,
let me die with Billy, will you?
Jeez. No, listen, Billy's great, but this, like, listen, there must have been, and I'm just saying this, there's got to be one album. And listen, maybe think about later on. You should come up with it for like a call of the day.
Yeah.
Think about this. The one album that start to finish you when you were a kid that you just listened to over and over and over, whatever the case is.
Honestly, when I was a kid, it was probably Michael Jackson.
Well, maybe we'll take the Billy Joel hits.
Yeah. I mean, Michael's amazing, but I'm gonna go with stick with my man B over here.
All right. And final question. Who's the one person you want to meet most at the Fanatics Fest?
Okay, so as I go through this, won't you drop some of the names? I know we're working on some of these guests.
I don't have the names in front of me, so.
Good job, buddy.
But I thought you had the list in front of you.
Well, I mean, I've got the read that gives me three names, Jeter, Manning, and Tom Brady.
Well, no, I know you and Hurley would be talking about this forever.
Yeah, not really.
Oh, my God.
let's see here. We were supposed to talk about it the other day, and he's like, hey, guys, come down to the office, after the show. And I want to talk about the list of, guests, because we're trying to book some of these big names. So I walk down to the office and Hurley's not there. I'm like, well, I waited 30 seconds. It's Friday. I got to go. Let me see.
All right.
I would. Yeah, Peyton. Yeah. I've interviewed Eli a bunch. Eli's going to be there. Meet or interview? Let me be clear. Meet or interview?
Meet.
Any wrestlers going to be there? I think there are going to be a bunch of wrestlers there.
Like Hogan's going to be.
Oh, look at this guy. See, look at him. I mean, this is why he's the PD and you're not. Look at this guy. Hurley, you're the best, dude.
Work before the show might help.
Yeah, well, wait. Open up the mic. This is not my fault. This is his fault. Yeah. Chastise him on the air. Open up the boss's mic, please.
A little work before the show might not hurt.
Yeah. That's to you. Not me.
To me?
Yes.
You're on the air.
This guy, Hurley. I mean, Hurley, what do we do with this guy? You got to tighten it up over here, Ryan. That's the boss. All right. He has given me the list because he is the PD. He is the boss. Let's see. Oh, he's even got it broken down by names. Look at this guy. So, Carmelo's going to be there. Let's see. Cal Ripken. Jeter, Dominique. Dante DiVincenzo. Daryl. I've interviewed Kareem, so I have met Kareem. Oh, Mike Tyson. That'll be pretty wild. Imagine popping a gummy with Mike Tyson. I think I'd be scared straight. I don't think I'd be able to hang with that. Doc Gooden. Hulk Hogan's going to be there. That's right. All right. Oh, Stephen A. It's my boy. Let's see. Jeff McNeil. Maybe Sal can yell at him. Lil Wayne in the house. Gronk. I mean, this is... How do I narrow this down? Roger Goodell. I could berate him. Pedro. LT. Michael Strahan. You know, I was playing golf yesterday. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. So I was at my club. I won't say the name of the club. I was at my club, right? And it's not a stuffy club. I'm not that. It's a beautiful course, but it's a cool place. And it's affordable. It's not like one of the, I'm not trying to sound like that guy on the air. And I get there, and the bag drops. I was just going to hit balls. And they're like, oh, Strahan's playing. I'm like, all right, cool. You know? And I heard, like, a couple of people went up to Strahan, like, hey, Mike, can I get a picture? He's like, no, I'm playing golf. How weak is that? I probably shouldn't have said that, but whatever.
By the way, could I just throw you out some other names that are going to be there, too?
KD. Oh, my little feud with Kevin Durant from back in the day.
Some guys that are going to be on the center stage as host.
Ooh.
Like guys like Adam Schefter, Rich Eisen, Tom Arnold, Chris Rose, Sal Licata.
Oh, Terry Sal. I mean, so that's the C-list right there. Sal is on it. That's right. He's doing his Baseball Night New York show out there. Yes. Baseball Night New York. That's awesome. I like that show. I actually do watch that. I think he's good on it, and I think the panel's good. Let me see. Who else? I don't see many wrestlers beside Hulk. Man, I love to hang out with Hulk. Ozzie Smith. Oh, Pate Sporanic. Ooh, Pate Sporanic is going to be there. Paul Heyman's going to be there. Spike Lee, I've interviewed him. It is a good list here. So my answer, after much pondering, would be, I'm going to go with Hulk. I mean, I just think I would just, what are you making the face for? Say Hulk.
No, that's good. No, I respect it.
Okay, you're making a face at me.
I'm on the phone multitasking.
I gotcha. There you go. That is the Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center. It's be a lot of fun. All right. Hurley didn't look happy when he came in here. Oh, boy. 888-808-1019. Not at me. We're good. BT and Sal on the Fan. 1019 is the number. As I said, as I started to say, let's get back to the calls. Gary in Bedminster, New Jersey. Gary, what's going on, Gary? Gary. All right. Gary is not ready to go. How about John on Staten Island? What's going on, John?
Hey, BT. How you doing?
Good, John.
Good. Hey, how you doing, BT? It's always a pleasure.
What's up, Gus?
Listen, you know, I've been a Mets fan since 1962. I'm 68 years old. I currently umpire baseball, and, you know, I put my kids through it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I comprehend what you was talking about before. But as far as Pete Alonso's concerned, you know, I've seen a lot of power hitters that were not Mets that I always wanted to be Mets. Okay, because Darryl Strawberry was our best one. Hojo was our next to best. You know, Jim Hickman back in the day.
Dave Kingman.
And Dave Kingman, yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as, you know, baseball today, depending on who your agent is, you know, brings out the selfishness in a lot of ball players. You know, like, for example, Soto, he turned down $300 plus million.
with the Nationals, right? And I think the worst move that Pete Alonso made was getting Boris to be his agent, because I think Boris is whispering in his ear, you got to do this, you got to do that. And this guy is projecting numbers into the 40s when he's not even close right now.
Yep.
And the sad part is he's our best power hitter, homegrown. I know the trade talks, the discussions between you and Sal talking about trading and not trading. Either way, you know, as a Mets fan, listen, I'm a Mets fan with 29 winning seasons with this team out of 63 years. Oof. Okay, that's nothing to brag about. Oof. Okay? But in the long run, he's our best power hitter. And he's got to, like, stay with the flow of the team, you know, and maybe his numbers will improve. But if he's putting the pressure on himself to hit home runs like he's projecting 40 right now, which is ludicrous. Yeah. I never heard of a ball player projecting in the middle of a season as to what he's going to get, you know, because baseball is unpredictable.
We do that all the time, even with Judge's pace. I mean, you go to any baseball website where you get the stats, it plays it out. It's got its projection right in front of you.
I'm not talking about we as the fans. I'm talking about as a player.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, players keep their mouths shut as far as what they're doing on the field. You know, and then when the season's over, then they reflect on what they did.
Yep.
And then they take it, and then they put it in their agent's hands to negotiate the contract that they deserve.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
yep.
This guy's talking about, and the only thing I didn't like about Pete really this year was the fact that baseball invited him to be in the home run derby.
Yeah.
He should have just taken that instead of putting baseball on the spot and saying, put me on the All-Star team. I thought that was very selfish.
You weren't alone. Yeah. You got that bothered. You know, Gus, weren't alone.
That really got me annoyed. But as a power hitter that we were craving since the Orlando Cepeda days, I feel that, I mean, that's how far back I go. I mean, you know, he's our best home run hitter that we've had in a long time, you know, since Strawberry, you know, and Hojo. So, you know, let's hope that this guy, you know, tones it down a little bit and just becomes more of a team player than a selfish player. And that's all I have to say, and I'll hear your opinions on that. Thank you very much.
Appreciate that very much. I mean, listen, the one thing, you make a lot of good points. I get it, and a sensible approach here. The one thing that I can't quantify, I mean, nobody can, and we can sit here and split the numbers all day, projected to do this, he did this last year, he might do this when it's all said and done with 500 home runs. I don't know. I surmise this could be the case, but I don't know. Because I'm just trying to personalize it for me, that I wonder if he's going to harbor any resentment toward the Mets for not dropping him to five, but for what he might perceive to be a light offer with $160 million, right? And maybe be more open to he previously was to leave for an offer that's comparable. Like if the Mets offered him, I don't know, I really think it was 160, right? And he didn't sign it, and let's just say, I'm just throwing out a team, let's say the Angels offer him similar, you know, where he may have been mentally predisposed to stay here no matter what, if the offer that he feels is disrespectful, if 160 could be disrespectful, but in the sporting sense, you know what I mean, maybe that greases the skid for him to leave and say, you know what, nah, too light, I'm leaving, I don't feel wanted here. I mean, that's not off the table. That's part of the human, you know, the ego and all the other stuff, and he's got an ego, as we know about the All-Star game with the flex, as the, you know, Gus just pointed out, and many of you have as well. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal, all the fan, back to these calls as well. The Jalen Brunson captaincy, the Brian Daboll conversation that we had earlier as well. Fanatics Fest NYC takes over the Javits Center August 16th through the 18th. Don't miss the powerhouse event with over 100 athletes, Tom Brady, Derek Jeter, the Manning brothers. It is going to be loaded. Catch a star-studded Knicks paddle featuring newly minted captain Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart. Dive into interactive sports challenges like a 40-yard dash and score exclusive Topps card drops. Don't miss out. It's going to be awesome. Me and Sal will be out there as well as Evan and Tiki doing our shows. Visit FanaticsFest.com for the full athlete lineup. Be part of the first ever immersive sports fan festival at Fanatics Fest. For tickets and info, go to FanaticsFest.com. That's FanaticsFest.com. Let's set you up with a sports bit brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. All right, we'll get back to these calls here about Pete, a little Brian Daboll stuff as well. Hobbs is going to step in for Sal. Now, listen, these are big shoes because Sal's questions are usually good. Like, I think Sal's questions, I enjoy this segment a lot. Sal usually brings some good stuff. Sal is on vacation, which means Hoff had to set up the list himself, and let's see how he does.
All right, well, listen, first one up, speaking of the devil, Sal Licata, what do you miss most about Sal?
What do I miss most about Sal? Honestly, I miss a lot. Like, you guys know I love working with Sal. What do I miss the most about Sal? I would say, well, first I'll give you an answer that you probably don't expect. I miss the conversations off the air. Like, the things we talk about, you're in for some of it. And you should hear the conversations during the break, my God.
The unfiltered's pretty good.
Oh, God almighty, it's amazing. So that's always fun, and we just bounce around all aspects of life. I would say he makes me laugh. Like, the guy, he's out of his mind. He's insane. He's crazy. He's a nutball. And I think that unpredictability, you've seen me spit my water out twice, like, legitimately just laugh. So I'd say laughing a little bit.
All right.
Go on.
Number two, I'm stealing this from the morning show because I heard Jerry and Joe talk about this.
I mean, come on. No original content?
Oh, no, this is good, though. Oh, this is a good one.
Is this a music thing?
It is.
Okay, that's all they talked about was music.
Right, exactly.
You talk about little sports guys.
Not Joe. Joe talked about yeah. Listen, he's talked about dying before his sports teams win.
Wait, the morbidity? Yes. I got you.
So this is a little bit morbid, too.
All right.
What's the one album you'd want to listen to on your deathbed?
Oh, Jesus. On my deathbed.
Well, because they were asking, the whole thing was a thing about Ringo Starr. No, not Ringo Starr. George Harrison, they asked that.
Yeah. What did he say, by the way? What was George's answer?
I don't remember George's answer. Joe's answer was the Beach Boys, a specific Beach Boy album.
Really? I thought he may have said Led Zepp. I know he loves the Beach Boys, too. Oh, boy. On my deathbed, I mean, I guess I'll indulge the morbid nature of the question. Am I really old or am I younger and sick, God forbid? Because there's a difference.
I think that's what it was. It was more like, it was like chemo type of thing. Not chemo, excuse me, hospice. Because George Harrison, I think, was on hospice.
Hospice meaning I'm 85?
Well, I mean, you take whatever you want.
Well, hopefully I'll take the 85.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, I'll take 90 while we're making deals here. I would say Billy Joel's greatest hits. I'd say Billy Joel's greatest hits.
That's almost a cop-out.
What do you mean it's a cop-out?
The greatest hits.
It's an album.
No, you need...
Volume 1 and 2. I mean, that's literally an album. Wait, can you buy the album? Can you buy the CD with all the different songs? Like Goodnight Saigon, Piano Man. Can you?
You can, well, but that's a cop-out, though.
All right. So if you don't like that, so he doesn't like my answer. That's one thing Sal never does. He never says, I don't like the answer. He rolls with it.
No, okay, gotcha.
Let me see. Be a little more specific. As I'm thinking, do you have one?
I do, and it's a weird one.
Okay.
Fiona Apple title. I don't know you why. Are, it's just very, very relaxing.
That is weird, man.
It's very relaxing, though.
Listen, and just the reason I say Billy, I like songs that make me think. And to me, Billy Joel, I don't know that there's not an artist, and to the chagrin of my producer, my answer, there's not an album that kind of floods me with snapshots of so many different times in my life than that. So you know what? Screw you. I'm not giving another one. That's it. That's my answer.
All right, hey,
let me die with Billy, will you?
Jeez. No, listen, Billy's great, but I'm just saying this. There's got to be one album. And listen, maybe think about later on. You should come up with it for like a call of the day.
Yeah.
Think about this. The one album that start to finish you when you were a kid that you just listened to over and over and over, whatever the case is.
Honestly, when I was a kid, it was probably Michael Jackson.
Well, maybe we'll take the Billy Joel hits.
Yeah. I mean, Michael's amazing, but I'm gonna go with stick with my man B over here.
All right, and final question. Who's the one person you want to meet most at the Fanatics Fest?
Okay, so as I go through this, won't you drop some of the names? I know we're working on some of these guests.
I don't have the names in front of me, so.
Good job, buddy.
But I thought you had the list in front of
you. Well, I mean, I've got the read that gives me three names. Jeter, Manning, and Tom Brady.
Well, no, I know you and Hurley would be talking about this forever.
Yeah, not really.
Oh, my God.
let's see here. We were supposed to talk about it the other day, and he's like, hey, guys, come down to the office, after the show. And I want to talk about the list of, guests, because we're trying to book some of these big names. So I walk down to the office and Hurley's not there. I'm like, oh, I waited 30 seconds. It's Friday. I got to go. Let me see. Peyton. Yeah. I've interviewed Eli a bunch. Eli's going to be there. Meet or interview? Let me be clear. Meet or interview?
Meet.
Any wrestlers going to be there? I think there are going to be a bunch of wrestlers there.
Like Hogan's going to be.
Oh, look at this guy. See, look at him. I mean, this is why he's the PD and you're not. Look at this guy. Hurley, you're the best, dude.
Work before the show might help.
Yeah, well, wait. Open up the mic. This is not my fault. This is his fault. Yeah. Chastise him on the air. Open up the boss's mic, please.
A little work before the show might not hurt.
Yeah, that's to you, not me.
To me?
Yes.
You're on the air.
This guy, Hurley. I mean, Hurley, what do we do with this guy? You got to tighten it up over here, Ryan. That's the boss. All right, he has given me the list because he is the PD. He is the boss. Let's see. Oh, he's even got it broken down by names. Look at this guy. So... Oh, Carmelo's going to be there. Let's see. Cal Ripken. Jeter. Dominique. Dante DiVincenzo. Daryl. I've interviewed Kareem, so I have met Kareem. Oh, Mike Tyson. That'll be pretty wild. Imagine popping a gummy with Mike Tyson. I think I'd be scared straight. I don't think I'd be able to hang with that. Doc Gooden. Hulk Hogan's going to be there. That's right. All right. Oh, Stephen A. It's my boy. Let's see. Jeff McNeil. Maybe Sal can yell at him. Lil Wayne in the house. Gronk. I mean, this is how do I narrow this down? Roger Goodell. I could berate him. Pedro. LT. Michael Strahan. You know, I was playing golf yesterday. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. So I was at my club. I won't say the name of the club. I was at my club. Right, and it's not a stuffy club. I'm not that. It's a beautiful course, but it's a cool place, and it's affordable. It's not like one of the, I'm not trying to sound like that guy on the air. And I get there, and at the bag drops, I was just going to hit balls, and they're like, oh, Strahan's playing. I'm like, all right, cool, you know. And I heard, like, a couple of people went up to Strahan, like, hey, Mike, can I get a picture? He's like, no, I'm playing golf. How weak is that? I probably shouldn't have said that, but whatever.
By the way, could I just throw you out some other names that are going to be there, too?
Sure, KD. Oh, my little feud with Kevin Durant from back in the day.
Some guys that are going to be on center stage as host.
Ooh.
Like guys like Adam Schefter, Rich Eisen, Tom Arnold, Chris Rose, Sal Licata.
Oh, Terry Sal. I mean, so that's the C-list right there. Sal is on it. That's right. He's doing his Baseball Night New York show out there. Yes. Baseball Night New York. That's awesome. I like that show. I actually do watch that. I think he's good on it, and I think the panel's good. Let me see. Who else? I don't see many wrestlers beside Hulk. Man, I love to hang out with Hulk. Ozzie Smith. Oh, Paige Sparanik. Ooh, Paige Sparanik is going to be there. Paul Heyman's going to be there. Spike Lee. I've interviewed him. It is a good list here. So my answer, after much pondering, would be... I'm going to go with Hulk. I mean, I just think I would just... Well, what are you making the face for? Say Hulk.
No, that's good. No, I respect it.
Okay, you're making a face at me.
I'm on the phone multitasking.
I gotcha. Gotcha. There you go. That is the Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center. It's be a lot of fun. All right. Hurley didn't look happy when he came in here. Oh, boy. 888-808-1019. Not at me. We're good. BT and Sal on the Fan. 1019 is the number. As I said, as I started to say, let's get back to the calls. Gary in Bedminster, New Jersey. Gary, what's going on, Gary? Gary. All right. Gary is not ready to go. How about John on Staten Island? What's going on, John?
Hey, BT. How you doing?
Good, John.
Good. A couple of things on Pete. Number one, I think the comments yesterday were a little tone deaf, but I think it's coming from a place of being defensive. The guy's not stupid. He knows he's not having a good year. He's wearing it. It's in his head now with the runners in scoring position. He's lunging at everything. The whole year I kept saying to myself, all right, he's going to get on one of the heaters. And there's only 6 or 7 weeks left in the regular season. For the first time, I think it just might not happen. He might just finish the year out the way he's been playing. You know, he seems to get his hits every couple of days. He'll hit his home runs. But first and third, one out, he's just grabbing that bat too tightly, I think, at this point. But one other thing, It was interesting. About a month ago, you had David Wright on the phone.
Yeah,
and
I remember that.
Sal.
Yeah.
You had a great, great interview. And one of the things that struck me is when he stayed, he decided to stay. He could have hit free agency and probably made more money on the open market, but he wanted to stay. It was the right thing for him.
Yep.
Look what happens to him right after. A year or two later, he gets a spinal stenosis. The rest of his career, he limps to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But the fans never held it against him.
Yeah.
Why? Because he resigned. They knew what type of player he was. He's beloved. Eventually, he's going to have his number. It, much like Mattingly, although Mattingly was better at his peak,
uh-huh.
The fans loved it. It didn't matter how the career ended.
I loved him.
Pete should look. Pete should look and say to him. And now, if the offer, like the DeGrom offer, was so far ahead of anything the Mets were going to, then you go.
Yeah.
But if
yeah.
the offers are close, if Pete stays, okay, and they win a championship somewhere in the next 5 years, and say he ends up being a guy that hits 220, 230, but still averages 30 to 35.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be beloved. He's going to hold every record, every offensive record probably the team has, with the exception of maybe Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
He'll have his number up in that rafters. I don't know what's important to the guy because he's
still
only 31.
John, I don't either. I wish I did. You know, that's where the conjecture comes in. And thanks for the call there, buddy. Good points, yeah. I mean, listen, Dave, let's not get this twisted. David Wright's the best Mets position player in history. That's it. He's the best. I mean, I find it, and again, this is not, let's knock Pete, but let's not lose context of Mets history. It's David Wright. Like, even if David Wright went 0 for 4, David Wright could still beat you because he was an athlete. He could run. He could pick it. David Wright was a monster for a couple of years. I don't understand, like, you know, unless you're just younger, and, you know, I get that, then it's on, that's your perspective. Like, if you didn't truly see David Wright and you only saw really Pete, okay, that's one thing. But if you've seen them all, like, if you're going back to 62 and, you know, the first few great players on that, you know, obviously, you know, a couple of years after that, and then, I mean, I guess even if you want to throw Ron Hunt in there, the first All-Star in Met ever. But, you know, you go through the lineage of Met greats. It's I don't even think it's Darryl. I think it's David Wright. I've always said that. 888-808-1019. BT and Sound on the Fan coming up. Hit with the top story. Get back to the calls as well on this busy Tuesday on the Fan.